This is the Steve Cochran Show.
This place, this law, we don't belong to them.
Our family's in trouble. You understand that? Do you?
What's the worst thing you ever did?
You betray your own blood.
You can't even see your own wife is miserable.
Silence. Oppression. Fear. It would take an extraordinary man to beat all that.
Clip from Mudbound. No movie had bigger buzz at Sundance this year than Mudbound. I don't care. Look, Virgil Williams is here. And welcome home, Virgil. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to be seen.
And I don't care how much success you've had writing TV shows, and you've made some good dough in Hollywood. You've had a nice run.
Yeah, I'm blessed.
Until you start getting buzz at places like Sundance. I mean, how many people came up to you and go, so you're new? You're new in the business? You're the overnight success?
That's a little bit of the vibe. I'm a 20-year overnight success.
Right. Yeah. And for people that want to be a writer, a producer, or an actor for that matter, and you want to put this kind of dedication into it, it's not as easy as it looks, kids.
It actually took longer.
Sweat and tears.
I started out here as an actor. I got cast in the Blues Brothers when it shot here.
Right, right.
And that's what did it. That's when I got bit by the bug.
Lit the fire.
Yep.
I noticed on your notes you wrote for 24.
Yes, sir.
How long were you on staff?
First two seasons, and I wrote a freelance season 3.
I always wondered how that show was written, because shows have certain templates they fall into, but in the writer's room, did you take different parts of the script? Like they came in with a story idea and they broke it down?
No. It was, that was my first gig. So, I was eyes wide and overwhelmed. It was me and a bunch of guys who had run shows previously. So there was a room, but everything ultimately had to go through one computer because of the real time nature of it. There needed to be a sort of a cohesiveness that existed in order for the story to work. So ultimately it did filter through Joel Cerno's computer or Bob Cochran. And then after that, Howard Gordon was a big part of that. But there was a room. There was a standard room. We put notes on the board and figured out what we were going to do. And
did you ever see Kiefer? Because I thought Kiefer was hyper involved.
Yeah. He was in the beginning, and not as a producer as much. Of course, great influence because he's number one on the call sheet. And Jack Bauer.
Yeah. Don't we need him now.
Yeah.
Jack Bauer could fix all our problems.
Yeah, you're not kidding. You're not kidding.
Fun show to work?
Amazing.
It had to be intense, though, wasn't it?
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, again, my first job. So I had license to sort of go everywhere. We shot there. We edited there. So that was an incredible, incredible learning experience.
And then for a lot of laughs, you also did Criminal Minds?
Yeah. Big fun.
The hilarity of Criminal Minds?
Yeah, I'm a big romantic comedy guy.
That's had an amazing cast. And my old pal Thomas Gibson, who's no longer with the show, had kind of an interesting turn, but we've lost touch.
Yeah.
But that cast is amazing. So you've been around some pretty cool people.
I'm blessed, man. I'm not for lack of hard work, but I'm extremely blessed.
How hard is it to write for a weekly show? I mean, it's hard enough writing for a screenplay because you have more time, but you're going week to week to week to week, and do the characters pop in and the actors and say, I don't want this, I want this, or is it kind of like, hey, you'll get what you get?
Yeah, it's that's a great question. It's the culture changes from show to show, it's not an easy thing to do. And once the train has left the station, because that is really what it is really about. Ultimately, it's about scheduling. It's about sticking to your schedule. It's about turning in good scripts on time, so that all your department heads can do their work, and so that they're not behind. If you're turning in scripts late, you're starting to pay retail for everything. The earlier you can hand it in, it stays wholesale. And
there's alphas in every room, right? There's alphas in the room who are pitching harder and that type of thing.
Yeah, that does exist. I'll tell you what, on Criminal Minds, Erica Messer, who is fantastic, she's run that show for a long time. That's pretty utopian. It was four women, four men.
Sure.
There were actually minorities in the room. I wasn't the only one. That was pretty.
And believe it or not, kids, that was before Blackish
and Empire.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty that's a pretty great room, Criminal Minds. That was a an amazing place to work and learn and grow.
Chicago Film Festival screening of Mudbound tonight, even after Sundance, it's got to be thrilling for you.
Just being in here right now, because I've walked by this booth a million times. I'm thrilled. I'm over the moon. I'm actually very humbled too to come home and do this.
Well, we're thrilled to have you here. This cast is incredibly impressive too, including Carey Mulligan and Mary J. Blige.
Yes, sir.
Mary J. can act.
Yes,
everybody
sir.
Goes, Mary J. can sing. Of course she can sing.
Mm-hmm. Wait till you see the movie.
But she can act.
Wait till you see the movie. She's fantastic. They all are.
Where'd the idea come from?
A book. A book written by a woman and a good friend of mine now, Hillary Jordan. If you're book readers out there, read the book. It's fantastic.
Did you know it was a screenplay when you read it?
When I closed the book, I knew that this is... it felt like I found a $100 bill on a busy street. And I couldn't believe that it was available. I knew that this would be... If everything went right, this would be an amazing film.
How does that work? Do you have somebody in mind when you're writing it, like a Mary J. Blige? Do you pick up the phone and say, hey, I really want you for this role?
That's a great question. No, my job primarily was to change that book into a screenplay.
Okay. Which is, by the way, again, way harder than it sounds.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy.
Right. People go, the story's right in front of you. Turn it into a movie.
Well, you know, I'll give them that. I'll give them that. The heavy story lifting has already been done. I'll give them that. But then at that point, it becomes surgical.
Right.
And then it becomes sort of technical. And then it also becomes about what do you keep and what do you jettison.
Yeah, because screenplay is, 120 pages?
Give or take, yeah.
About 120 pages. And now you're taking a 300 or 400-page book, yeah, which has got everything. You just think, being in some of the early buzz and the reviews I've seen of the movie, I've never seen a movie described this way. I've seen big, meaty, and restrained.
Mm.
Which one?
Yeah,
you know,
all three.
Yeah, but I get it, right? Because, yeah. But by the same token, explain how it can be all three.
With two words, D. Reese, the visionary director who really brought this film to life. She managed to capture such intimate performances against this sort of big, huge American backdrop. You know, it's sort of Faulkner. It's just sweeping and epic.
People that don't know the story, give them the cliff notes.
It's about two families. It takes place right before, right during, and right after World War II, and the two families, one is black, one is white. The white family owns the farm that the black family are sharecroppers on. A son from the white family goes to World War II. He's a bomber pilot and a war hero. A son from the black family goes to World War II. He's a tank commander and a war hero. And when they return to the Mississippi Delta, they're really the only two people who can relate to each other, because they're both suffering from PTSD and drinking heavily, and just they're wounded. And as one would guess, in the Mississippi Delta during the Jim Crow South, a friendship between a black boy and a white boy is forbidden.
Sure.
And, you know, hijinks ensue.
Right. Right. That's life happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
And listen, I can't wait to see it, because I haven't yet, but I do know the story and I know your story, and I couldn't be more thrilled for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah. And now, what's your process when you're writing on your own?
Mm.
Do you get up? Because I've talked to a bunch of people who've done this very well at the highest levels for years. And some say, I got to get up every morning, treat it like a job. I got to write every morning between 9 and noon, take a break for lunch and come back. But I've also heard people that go, I write when it hits me.
Yep. You know, I have found that routine is a much better friend than inspiration. I don't necessarily have a set time, because I have two young daughters. So, you know.
Right. They determine your schedule.
My life is not my own. You know, I have to defer to the two CEOs.
Yeah.
But it's just really about putting my butt in the seat and staying there. And doing that with consistency, it's a little bit like building a brick wall, you know, even if it's just a brick a day.
What's Sundance like?
Oh, that was, for me, transcendent. I insisted on bringing my whole family, because I did the math, and my oldest daughter was 10, so for 70% of her life, I had been working on and or dreaming about that film. The election had just happened, and no matter what your politics are, that had just happened. So it was important for me to bring her, so that both of them, so that they could actually, because they don't do what we say, they do what we do. They had to see what tenacity and hard work and faith, what happens when you stick with a thing for a long time.
It's great as a parent.
And also that march that happened, there was a women's march that happened, and it was important for both of those young baby girls to see strong women. And then to see the film, because I hadn't seen the film yet, And it worked on an emotional level. I would have cried if I had not been a part of it. And then the sort of sense of we did it and being able to sort of hug my little girl. I mean, I consider start crying on your microphone right now if I keep talking about it.
No, you know, it's funny. It's funny you say that because I always joke about it here. What a softy I am. And I remember when my kids were little, and my kids are older than your kids, but when my kids were little, as guys, you have that protection thing, mm-hmm. right? You go, you don't want your children to see you in any sort of vulnerable state.
Yeah.
Well, as my kids got older, forget about it. I mean, I cry at a commercial.
Yeah.
Cry whenever.
Yeah.
Men cry. Yeah. There's the bulletin.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really important thing to show your daughter.
Yep.
And
yep.
your son, too.
Yeah. 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 We're fallible. We're human.
Yeah.
I apologize a lot to them, too, because I mess up a lot. You know, they got to know it's okay to mess up. But
what's their mom do?
Their mom is a mom. Their mom runs that house.
You guys are blessed.
Yeah, you were not kidding.
So you got three CEOs, basically.
Yes, yeah, yes, yes. Right. I have the queen and the two princesses.
Oh,
yes.
You get it. Man. You get it. Yeah.
I don't know about that, but I'm trying. I'm working at it.
Well, this is going to be an unbelievable ride for you as you move forward with the. Not just Mudbound, but whatever comes next. You know what you're working on?
Yeah, you know, I've got a couple of television shows in development. One is actually about a gym here on the south side, a boxing gym here on the south side in Englewood. And I plan to make that a TV show.
Big, so, yeah. meaty, and restrained?
Yes, sir.
You've somehow solved the Rubik's Cube. It's Mudbound. I hope you get to see it tonight if you're going to the Chicago Film Festival. If not, I hope we get to see it wide. Very soon.
Netflix, November 17th.
November 17th,
yes,
on Netflix.
Yes.
All right. Spread the word, kids. You got your Netflix.
Great film. If you get a chance to see it on the big screen, though, it's one of those. It's worth it to take a trip to go see it on the big screen. Rachel Morse and our DP did a fantastic job. So it's a movie.
Congrats on your success. And if we want to follow you on social media and other places or a website, what do you recommend?
Twitter, @Virgil Williams.
Going to do it right now. Great to see you. And again, welcome home.
Thank you, guys. Good to be back.
There are three tickets left because everyone who's ever met Virgil wanted comps tonight. It's 9:25. More in a moment on 720 WGN.